Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Amen. All right, today get your Bibles out and go with me to the Song of Solomon. We're talking about love songs today. If I could subtitle today's message, I would say that it's really Stand By Me. We're going to be going throughout the decades a bit as we go throughout this series. So this week, as you saw, we had Groovy Man up there taking us all the way back to 1960s. And next week, we'll be in the 80s, probably have it wasn't a DJ anymore, right? It was the VJ, the video jockey, right? And so next week will be a great week to come to if you're into the 80s, as a lot of people are. And, but today we're going to be talking about love songs, starting out in the Song of Solomon. That's right. You can preach that in church. Sometimes people are going, ooh, Song of Solomon. You know, that's kind of that love song. It's really about intimacy and relationships. Or maybe you read it and you got a little bit confused and you wondered what a weird anatomy lesson that was. You know, your neck is like the Tower of Jezreel and all that kind of stuff. Song of Solomon, that's a joke, by the way. It's okay to laugh in church. All right, just want to make sure you all know. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, we're going to start out in verse number 2, and I'm going to read through verse number 4. And I want you to tell me if you've heard this love song before. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Ooh, I like it already. Honey, maybe you should read this to me when we get home later on today. For your love is better than wine. Verse number 3, because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Isn't that just sound like a love song we've heard before? I can't even say their name. Jessica.
Gosh.
And it changes the atmosphere. The fragrance of her name just comes pouring forth. Look at verse number 4. It says this. Draw me away. Hello, come on, somebody. Now, we've heard that song before, haven't we? Right? As we think about marriage and as you see what people think marriage should be out there, right? There's almost this romantic idea that it's all going to be huggy-huggy and kissy-kissy and love and passion and romance. And you know, it's kind of like the 1965 hit by Frankie Valli, right? Can't Take My Eyes Off You. You guys remember that song? Let's take a quick listen.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
We've heard that love song before, right? And we know that that's kind of that ideal that, you know what, I'm going to get married and everything's going to be all right. If I could just find the right man or if I could just find the right woman, everything will be all right. But for the married people, we know what happens, right? You get married and that romantic ideal may stick around for a while, but eventually something happens. And that's why that phrase that came up, you all know it, finish it for me, the honeymoon is over. Because marriage is not all huggy-huggy, kissy-kissy, passion, romance, and just, you know, that unending, undying love that we think about in the love songs. It would be great if it was, but we're still living life. In fact, oftentimes marriage is more like the song Stand By Me. I want you to just listen to the words real quick. Check this out.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me.
Okay, so wait, darling, wait, no. Darling, stand. Come on.
I knew he was going to do that. No, now, if you don't understand what's happening right here, this is the epitome of Dan.
It's
like,
cheesy.
Luke and me and James, I know you're in here. I seen you. James, where are you at? And, yep, Joey Valpersell.
Hey,
we went to Rhema, and Dan would just pull out random songs out of his head all the time, constantly. So we call his head the vault. So he knows every single song there could possibly ever have been written, and he can say it like, so you guys are gonna see Dan in his true form.
It's because of my upbringing. Growing up, I grew up with a couple of hippies from the 60s that had a great vinyl collection of records, and they would play those all the time, and my dad taught me how to play guitar with these songs. And then my mom would quiz me in the stores, we'd be walking through the mall or something like that, and she'd be like, who's singing? No, it's Ella Fitzgerald, you know? It's like, okay, Mom, my gosh, I didn't realize we were on Jeopardy right now, you know? So yes, I know a lot of songs. I just don't know that gangster rap that Pastor Jess used to listen to growing up, so.
He missed out.
Those kids and their gangster rap.
I still like it. But the godly stuff, the godly stuff.
The godly stuff, right, yeah. T-Bone and Lecrae and some of those guys, they got some good stuff out there now. So anyways, God is good. You heard it on Yocon, so you'll be hearing it this coming Friday night. Aside from that, back to what we're talking about, Stand By Me. What does he say? When the night has come, sometimes it can be tough in marriage. Sometimes you get married and it didn't take away all your problems. You get married and the honeymoon is over and all of a sudden here you are and you come home and there's like the husband gets in the door and starts stripping clothes off and laying out a trail, and the wife follows that trail like Hansel and Gretel's breadcrumbs, right? And finds him on the Lazy Boy being a lazy boy asking for a sandwich. And you know, marriage can be difficult. There can be wonderful, tremendous ups. I personally, outside of giving my heart and life to Jesus, the greatest two things that ever happened to me was that I got married to Jessica and that I had three wonderful children. Those are the two greatest things that happened in my life outside of my salvation. And so marriage can be wonderful. There's nothing better than a great marriage. Nothing worse, though, than a bad marriage. And I want to make this statement, that marriage can be tough. Marriage can be hard. In fact, a great marriage doesn't just happen. I wish it did. Just like a life. A great life doesn't just happen. It takes working at it, doing it God's way. In fact, we'll put that up on the overheads. A great marriage doesn't just happen. It takes work. It takes working at it, doing it God's way. Let's not try and find out the world's way. Let's not look to Hollywood. Let's not look to the movies or television or books or blogs on the internet. Let's not Google marriage to find out about marriage, because you will find every crazy ideal of man, every philosophy that's out there. But if we're going to have a wonderful life, if we're going to live a good, godly life, we need to find out from the author of life, from the Word of God, what he has to say about marriage and what he has to say about our lives. And it's going to take work on our part. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take time, effort, energy, resource. It's going to take everything that we have sunk into the things of God. And really, this is the manual for life. But you know, it's also a love song to us. God loves us so much, he has been singing love songs to us. In fact, in the Old Testament, you'll find that the Jews, they would often, and still to this day you can find some that do this, that they will sing the Word of God. It helps them to remember it. It helps them to understand it. And the different letters and the different ways that the words were structured, as they would read along, they would find these little parts, they call them the jot or the tittle, right? And it would go up or it would go down, and as they would see that, they would sing up or they would sing down, and so they would literally be singing the love song of God, remembering the Word of God, and would be able to memorize portions of Scripture like the first five books of the Bible. Just absolutely incredible. And so for us, as we get a hold of the love song of God and hear his voice singing over us how our life should be, it will change the world that we live in. It will make a great marriage, make a great life, make a great job experience. It'll make a great experience out there in the community with your relatives, with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors. God is singing a love song to each and every one of us. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse number 21. Now, I want you to notice as we turn there, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21, that it's really the middle of a sentence, okay? So we're going to start in the middle of the thought. And I'm doing this on purpose because I want you to see something about this. The Apostle Paul is writing the Corinthian church, and he's talking to them about the Christian community that we live in. He's talking to them about how to live life as a Christian, how to respond to one another. And he starts talking about our relationships. And here he is, and at the end of a thought, at the end of a sentence, right in the middle, this little thought sparks something, and all of a sudden he crosses over from community into the marriage relationship. It's almost as if this statement by the Holy Spirit was this little spark that lit a fire that all of a sudden now glows and burns and talks about what marriage is all about. This is where I want to start today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21. It says this. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now remember, this is talking about our relationship with one another in the Christian community, that we are now all partners in the kingdom of God, and we are to be mutually submissive to one another. Submitting to one another, how? In the fear of God, that this should be a godly thing, that this should be submitted ultimately to our head, who is Christ. So this thought right here now crosses over into marriage principles. But if I could say this to you, married couples, if all you had was this one scripture, if all you had was just this one word to stand on in your marriage, it would make for a great marriage. Why? Because now you're submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Isn't that what marriage is all about?
Right.
It's supposed to be about unity and oneness and love and a mutual faith and respect for one another. See, the husband is not meant to be domineering or pushing the wife down. It's not a male chauvinistic book, the Bible. No, God loves women. In fact, if you read your Bible, you'll find out there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. See, God gave us all an equal playing field in the kingdom of God now, and women are now partners in the kingdom of God. They have the same privilege as kingdom people in the kingdom of God. So men, we have to understand this, and we have to know this, that if we will submit to one another, how? In the fear of the Lord, that God should be the center and the focus of our lives, and especially in marriage, that God should be the center and the focus of our married lives. So submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. If that's all you got today, that would be enough. But we're going to continue on talking about marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. I'm going to read through verse number 25, and we'll stop with these verses and pull some principles out today as we go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Now today, I'm going to pull out a couple of principles for the men, for the husbands in particular, and as well as we go, don't worry, single people, like I said, we're going to be talking to you as well and draw out some truths that will encourage you in your walk with the Lord, and then at the end, my wife will get up and she will talk to the ladies and bring out some truths for the wives. First thing that I want to just point out to you, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23 says this, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." The first principle that I want to draw out of the Word of God today is that husbands are to be the spiritual head of the wife. Husbands are to be the spiritual head of the wife. Now, sometimes people get mad at that, and they say, well, wait a second. Why has it got to be like that? Why did God make the man the head? Why couldn't the woman have been the head? I mean, women are just as important. They have the same kingdom privilege. Why would God oppress women like that? Why would God make the man the head and not the woman? You want to know the answer why? You can say yes if you do want to know the answer. It's okay. This is an interactive sermon today, all right? All right? You guys want to know? Okay. Here's why. Because God said so.
Yep.
Really? Do we need any more reason than that? Yeah, sometimes people say, well, why? Why does it have to be that way? Why would God make the man the head? Why would God not let the woman lead? I mean, we can co-lead. We just heard submitting to one another, but now God crosses over and he says, and in the marriage, in the home, husbands are to be the spiritual head of the wife, just like Christ is the head of the church. See, God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos. In fact, God brought order out of chaos. If you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll find here's the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep. And the earth was chaotic and there was no order. And so God starts speaking and he starts putting in place systems and organization in life. You'll find the universal system, the gravitational systems. You'll find the biological systems. You'll find the systems in the cells of the body being formed. You'll find all of the different respiratory system, reproductive system, the nervous system that God placed on the inside. So on the micro level, you can see it. On the cellular level, you can see it. Things are in order. Things are working together. And then take the macro scale, the universal scale, and God has things working together. See, God put things in place for a reason. And now he says in the home, in the marriage, the husband is placed as the head of the wife. Now, that doesn't make him any better. That doesn't mean he's the high exalted pope of the house, you know, whatever, and he sits on the sofa and give me the sandwich woman and that sort of thing. This is not about, well, that was not God's design for marriage. But God is saying, as far as the organizational structure, the man is the head of the wife. Now, to help us understand this, I'm going to use an illustration that I think a lot of the men can relate with. Think about an automobile, right? Guys like cars, okay? So picture whatever car you like. All right, now ladies, if you were to go and you wanted to drive that car and you sat down and you took the key out and you put it in the ignition and you turned it and nothing happened, right? You didn't even hear the rrr, nothing's turning over, nothing's going on, just no noise whatsoever. Your first thought would be something's wrong, right? And you'd say, so okay, I'm gonna look under the hood. So you pop the hood, you walk around, you open it up, and there's no engine in there. You'd say, well, no wonder why the car's not making any noise. No wonder why there's no sound. There's no engine. So you walk around to the back of the car, you open up the trunk, and there's the engine. Now, unless this is a Volkswagen Beetle, you've got an issue, right? If it's a Volkswagen Beetle, you've got an issue anyways. So, most of the time, the engine is under the front, under the hood of the car, right? So let's say, ladies, you said, okay, this is not right. The engine should not be in the back of the car. And you said, you know what? I'm going to move it, okay? So let's say you had superhuman strength and you decided, you know what? I'm going to let this engine ride shotgun with me today, okay? So you picked up that engine and you went around and you put that engine in the passenger seat. You sat down in the car and you got the key and you put it in the ignition and you turned it. Would anything happen, ladies?
No.
No. Why not? Not in its place, right? It's out of order. And yet, many times when I counsel people in marriage, people come and sit in my office and they have an issue. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the issue is that we've got things in the home out of order. They're out of place. Simply put, the ladies either got the husband locked up in the back. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Or she's nice enough to let him ride shotgun while she makes the decisions. Oh, but things are out of order. Now, let's say you said, you know what, we're done. We're done messing around. We're going to do this God's way. And you took that engine out. You put it under the hood. You connected it the way that it's supposed to be done. And you turn that key. What's going to happen? Vroom, right? Now, all of a sudden, you have the power to make this thing work. Men, if you are not in your place and you're sitting in the back seat just kicking back, letting her move the car, you know what that really looks like in our illustration? Is that she's got the door and she's got the steering wheel and she's pushing it, okay? Now, and you're just kicking back doing nothing. She's only going to do that for so long until she's angry with you.
Yeah.
Because she'll do it. Okay, women are strong. God made women intelligent. He made them smart. He made them strong. They have great drive. And if there is an absence of leadership in the home, the woman will naturally come and she will take that place because someone's got to do it. Yeah. But she will only do that for so long before you've got real issues in the home. Yeah. And therefore, you need to take your place as the head of the house. Men, we have not been showing up. When I look at the fatherless society, when I look at the broken marriages across our nation, When I see the problems that are going on, men have not been showing up and taking their place as the head of the house. You say, but wait a second, she's domineering. You don't understand. You don't know my wife, Pastor. No, I don't, but I know the order of God. And if you get in your place, she may not like it at first, but eventually, if you do your part, then she will naturally come under submission, and she will come and she will do her part. Now, the single people in here are going, oh, I don't understand how this applies to me. Here's how it applies. If you're not married, be the spiritual leader that God has called you to be. Lead yourself. Go and become the greatest spiritual leader you can be. Be the leader on the job. You may not be the boss, but you can come and you can be a spiritual leader and encourage your boss and say, boss, we're behind you. We're going to get this done. And you take your place. You take the spot that God has given you and you do the best job that you can being the spiritual lead in that place for this time. Man, God has plans. God has purposes for you. And being single, you have opportunities that the married folks don't have, right? The Apostle Paul said that. He said, if I was married, I'd be caring about my wife, well, you know, taking care of her needs. But because I'm single, man, I can go out and I can preach the gospel. So be the spiritual leader. Be the spiritual head of what God has placed in your life and take that seriously. Make sure to do it. Now, for some of the men and for some of the people in this room, they said, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be a spiritual leader. I didn't have a good dad. I didn't have, you know, mentors in my life or people to show me how to do that. Now, remember, we're talking about doing this God's way. And I want you to remember, let's put the verse back up. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23, back up on the overheads for a second. Look at what it says. For the husband is the head of the wife as also, or in the same manner of, in the likeness of, who? Christ. So if you don't know how to be a spiritual leader, if you don't know how to be the husband and take your place as the spiritual head of your family, all you have to do is just step back and take a moment and take a look at Christ. You've got four gospels, you've got the book of Revelation, and you have all the epistles, all of the letters that are written to the church to find out what Jesus looked like as a leader. Remember, Jesus didn't come being the male dominant one, right? He didn't come to oppress people. He didn't come and kick his feet up and say, bring me my sandwich, right? He was like servant. He came and he loved. He was compassionate and kind. He welcomed the children. Some of you men need to bring the children to you. You need to sit them on your lap and say, son or daughter, this is how we are to live life. This is what God has to say about your life. Jesus didn't push women away. He let them lay at his feet and listen to his words. He went and he met them at the well. He talked to them about their lives. Men, you need to open up to your women. You need to talk to your wives. You need to love them and you need to encourage them and be the spiritual head like Jesus was. All you got to do is open your Bible and you'll find it written on every page. The love songs of God that now you can sing as the leader in your home. Second thing for today is this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25 says this. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The principle for the men today is this. As husbands are to love our wives and give of ourselves. Now, I find it interesting that God has to tell the men, because sometimes we men can be a little bit pig-headed. But God has to tell us to love our wives. Isn't that interesting? You know why God had to say that? Because some of us men are so thick-headed that we say, well, I told her that I loved her once. Well, that's good enough. Well, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. She knows. I married her, didn't I? I know she loves me, too. We woke up, and she's still there. Yeah, it won't be long if you don't tell her you love her. She won't be there anymore, dummy. Come on. Yeah. See, men, we have to express our love. Men, you know, I know men have less words than women, and I understand that. You have to talk on the job and all that kind of stuff. You come home, and all you want to do is just relax and turn your brain off. How was work, honey? Good. Right, you wake up in the morning, all you want to do is get a cup of coffee and take a shower, and she's wanting to talk your ear off already, right? Well, rather than shut your wife out, you have to bring her in. Husbands, we got to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. What kind of love was that? That was a sacrificial love, wasn't it? That was a love that laid its life down. Jesus did not stay in the comfort and the glory of heaven. But he disrobed himself of his glory. He stepped down and condescended to the earth. He came in the midst of a manger. That's where he was born. Not this glorious palace, not in comfort. No, he suffered throughout his whole life. The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And he suffered, and he bled, and he died, and he laid down his life here on the earth for the church. In the same way, husbands, we are going to have to get outside of ourselves, and we're going to have to express our love sacrificially to our wives. You need to speak it. You need to say it. First thing in the morning when you wake up, honey, didn't I do this when we woke up? I just looked at my wife, and I said, my God, you're gorgeous. You're so beautiful. Now, you may wake up, and you say, well, I don't really think that, Pastor. Don't say amen right now, okay? We're saving marriages in this place today, not splitting them up. But listen, it's not about what you see in the natural. It's about what God says. And God says that she is beautiful. God says that she's a daughter of God. God says that she is wonderful. And you speak the word of God to your wife, and you love her from the word of God. It won't be long before that heart. And it won't be long before it doesn't matter if her hair's a mess and the eyeliner's streaking down this side. And, you know, doesn't matter. You'll look at her and say, honey, you're just beautiful to me. All this, doesn't matter. It's beautiful to me. How can you love this? I mean, the kids just ruined all this. I need to get this cut off. Listen, it's a symbol of love because we loved one another and because God gave us beautiful children. That I love even that, honey. I love it all. I love all. I love every part of you, girl. Right? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. There we go. Praise the Lord. But sometimes we're going to have to lay down our lives. Sometimes we're going to have to sacrifice. What is it that God is calling you to give up, man? This got real, didn't it? Mighty quiet, man. But some of us got to give some stuff up. Maybe it's the night out with the guys. Maybe she hates the fact that you're smoking cigars, drinking beer, playing poker in some guy's garage. And maybe to have a great marriage, you're going to have to give up the guys' night. Maybe it's the motorcycle or whatever the bike is or whatever that thing is that every time you leave on it, she gets on her knees and prays to God that you don't die because she can't handle another phone call from the hospital like the last time. Hello? How about this one? This one, I was enraged. I was incensed. I was hot when I saw this. Driving on the road, and I saw a bumper sticker that said, Warcraft ruined my marriage. You stupid idiots. You can't put down a video game controller to love your wife? Oh, my gosh, I was enraged. Because something as stupid as a video game could split people up. See, what is it that we need to lay down? There might be something, might be a hobby, might be an interest, might be time, might be money, might be some other thing that you have been holding on to that maybe in order to love your wife and give of yourself, you're going to have to lay it down on the altar and sacrifice it for the betterment of your marriage. And that's okay. And that's okay because it's not worth losing your marriage over. I'll guarantee you right now, the ride, the thrill, the whatever is not worth losing your marriage over. We need to lay down our lives for our wives. Single people, in the same way, what do you have to lay down for Christ? Remember, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. You're married to Christ. And maybe to be the best Christian you can be, there might be something that you have to lay down. Maybe it is the video games. Maybe you've been dropping hours on video games online, and then you're saying, well, I don't have any time to study the Word of God. Yes, you do. You've got hours that you just burned. Why not take several of those hours and pour it into the things of God? Why not dedicate yourself? See, what is God asking you to lay down in your life? Maybe it's an interest. Maybe it's something that you can say, God, I'm giving this to you so that you can fulfill your purposes in me and we can have a better relationship. And now you can be one with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 in the Message says this. It says, husbands, go all out. That sounds like a manly verse, doesn't it? Men, can I hear a manly go all out? That was a little weak, okay, man? Come on, you got to show up, all right? Be the head right now, be the spiritual leader, okay? Husbands, okay, I want to hear a manly go all out.
Go all out.
That's much better. That's what I'm talking about. Go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. So in the same way you saw Christ laying down his life, you lay down your life. Look at this. A love marked by giving, not by getting. Oh, man, we can be so selfish, can't we? Don't shake your head, honey. But we can be so selfish, it's all about me. My food, my needs, my time, my rest, my relaxation, my money, my whatever it is. And oftentimes, we find ourselves trying to get, I want to get the girl, and I want to marry the girl so that we can get the life that we want to live, and I want to get the food and get the dinner when I come home, and I'm going to get the car that I like, and I'm going to get the stuff that I like, and I'm going to get her in the bedroom after we have a hard day's work, you know, and all that kind of, and it's all about getting. And yet, Jesus' love wasn't about getting, was it? Even though he wanted us and he wanted to get souls into the kingdom and he wanted to get our hearts, how did he do it? He did it by giving. He did it by serving. He did it by loving. He did it by laying down his life. And in the same way, men, you cannot make a withdrawal unless you have first put a deposit into the account. See, you want the lady at night when you lay down and you start scooting over in the bed, right? You come and you say, hey, girl, let's... you know, have some fun. What she can do, she can roll over and say, not tonight. Why? Because the account's empty. I have a headache. I'm tired. You know, these babies that you gave me, right now all of a sudden they're your babies. These babies you gave me, they're going to keep me up all night. And I just, you know, if you want that, you're going to have to do that another time because the blockers are up, right? You know what I'm talking about. But see, you're going to have to make a deposit. You're going to have to start early in the morning because what are women like, my
darling?
Women
are like a crock pot. It takes a while. We turn on and then we warm up slowly. And then you get a really good meal at the end.
Right? See?
But I think men are like a microwave.
Microwave popcorn. Okay? Right? You put the bag in, you put 1 minute, and all of a sudden things start popping. That minute's up, you can take the bag out, it's still going, pow, 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 right?
It's true.
That's why, ladies, sometimes when men start going, right, they start getting, you know, in the feeling, and you've lost that love and feeling.
Yeah.
You know, they get a little angry. Why? Because things are still popping over here. Just give me a minute, honey, I'll stop being angry in a second, okay? But see, men, if you want a good crockpot meal, you've got to turn that crockpot on in the morning, right? So what does that mean? You wake up and you say, oh, honey, you're beautiful.
Is that what you were doing?
Maybe. We'll find out later.
Oh, my gosh.
It just got PG-13 in here.
I think we got embarrassed, too.
We need
Jeez.
It to the pure. All things are pure, okay? But here's the deal. When we do our part as men, she can do her part as the wife. And with that, Pastor Jess, come and teach us from the Word of God.
Good job, babe. That was good. That was so good. Well, you know, when the man is in his spot, then us women, we can get in our spot. And it's really hard for the girls to submit and to come under the mission of her husband when he's a rascal. Okay, so now that you've just learned how not to be the husband that you shouldn't be, but the one you should be, let's talk to the wives about how we should be as wives. And, you know, in the Bible, it talks about submission. So let's go there in Ephesians 22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Let's stop there for a second. I am not to submit to Pastor Luke or to any of the other men in this house that already have wives. I submit to Dan and Dan only because Dan is my husband. He's my covering. He's my head. He's who God has placed me with, and we have a God assignment together. Okay, so let's just make sure that we have that clear. You are not submitting to somebody else's husband. And as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, also as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. See, I believe that once we understand marriage God's way, we then can understand our relationship with Christ, with Jesus ourselves, because it's a beautiful picture of Christ in us. So for those single people out there, we might be talking about marriage, but you can apply these principles that we're learning to your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be that awesome son or daughter to him, and Father God, I love you today. I thank you for what you're going to do in my life today. You can begin to build this intimate relationship and friendship with Jesus if you're a single person in this room. That needs to be your number one point right there. But if you're married, God wants you to do it with your husband. And so God is asking us women to come under the mission of our husbands. You say, now that is really hard. My husband is all over the place. He does what he wants, when he wants, and I just got to follow. And listen, sometimes, girls, it is hard. We're gonna have to bite our tongues at many times because we like to talk a lot. And we have a lot of words to say. Now, men would call that nagging. I just call that just talking. We're just talking. We're suggesting, we're giving some opinions. We have something to say. We are part of humanity. God did create us this way. And so I think that God embraces the beauty of men and women, and he puts us together because we need each other. You know, Adam and Eve walked with Jesus in, you know, the beginning of time, and he was so close with Adam and Eve. And they both sinned together. They both did that. It wasn't just Eve. Adam took that apple as well, and he separated from God. But you know, God loved them so much that he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He put Adam to sleep, and he took from Adam's side woman. And he created woman, and do you know what he called her? His helpmate. And sometimes we try and we dominate, and sometimes you have an incredible man. And I want to talk on the other side of this for a second. Because sometimes we have quiet husbands or we have gentle husbands, and they're not going to fight you on a matter if you just make a big deal, you know, happy wife, happy life. You know, that's junk. Because we have to be a family. We have to work together. Yes, your opinion matters. But listen, we all have our spots in a marriage. And it's not just appease the wife and make her happy. But it's let me hear her heart and what she's saying. Let me see what it is she's saying. And then I'm going to go to the throne room. I'm going to get in the face of God as a man. And then the wife says, oh, wow, he actually listened to me. Wow, okay. And then if Dan goes, if I give Dan an opinion or I say, what do you think about this? And he says, he comes back. He says, no, we're not doing it. All right. Okay, then we're not, you know, I know that my man was a godly man, that he sought the face of God, that he knows what's best for the family, because I then have come under Dan's mission. Would you like to hear a story? We were, I think, probably 10 years into our marriage, and
actually,
it was
5 years.
5 years into our marriage.
Because we owned that house 10 years.
God, I'm so lost. I don't know. Anyways, and we were, we had this house, and obviously the recession hit very hard in here. Many of you lost homes in that time, and we were on the brink of losing our home. And honestly, I was just fed up. It was a lot of money. It was just exhausting. I mean, I was probably on the phone. He was on the phone every single day with the mortgage companies. You know, we're at church, and we're here, and everybody gets their loans, you know, free and clear, and their debt was forgiven, and I'm like, where are you, God? You know, I was just so frustrated. And I remember telling Dan, can we just please just dump this thing? I don't even care. Let's just go rent a house. I just need to be free. This is stressful. Na 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 na. And I did go on and on and on. And he was a good man. But boy, did he dig his heels in the ground. He said, nope. He just dug those heels in and said, we are not moving because God spoke to me. And this is for our future. And I believe for a miracle, God's going to do something. So, boy, did we hold on for about a year and a half. We were every day on the phone. Every day the mortgage company never remembered that we called them the day before. And nobody ever knew what happened the conversations before. It was just the most frustrating thing. Finally, we get a letter in the mail, and the mortgage was modified. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I did that for your husband, but I also did it for you. And I said, well, why? And he goes, because you were so frustrated. You were having such a hard time following his lead. You wanted to jump ship. You didn't know what to do. You were mad. You were irritated. We had some good fights over that. But you had to learn how to submit and to come under Dan's mission in order for your marriage to work in the future. And I was like, oh, thank God. I did learn that. I did learn to submit to Dan. Now Dan could tell me something. I'm like, all right. I'm on it. I'm with you. I got your back. I'm right behind you. I'll pray you through it. Let's get through this together. See, we become this beautiful team because when submission starts to work, do you know when it works? When you're not in agreement with something. Submission doesn't work until you're not in agreement. So it's a dying of ourselves. It's a dying. It's coming under the mission of who God has placed over us, and that's our husband, because he's the head of the home. I love what submission means. I looked it up in the dictionary. It says to stop trying to fight or resist something. Now, girls, can we be a little feisty about what we think things should be and how they should be? Maybe we need to stop that. To agree to do and accept that you have been resisting and opposing to. Maybe you've been fighting something. You're just nonstop on a matter in your home, and it's causing strife. Well, guess what? You are the one that can stop that. Stop bringing it up. Come under the mission. And if you don't agree with where your husband is going, guess what? Get on your knees and start praying for him in that situation. Because God begins to turn the heart of a man. He will turn the heart of a man through prayer. He will turn. See, we are the neck that turns the head. Now, you can use that as manipulation, or you can use that as a beautiful thing that helps guide and lead the head through prayer, through faith, through encouragement, through love, through the word of God. We have an ability. And girls, we don't need to be manipulative. We need to be covering. We need to be submissive. We need to walk in love. We need to pray for our husbands and be that supportive piece. At times, it will not be easy. See, submission is thought of as like shackles. You can get chains and wrap it up. And I feel so bound by submission. I don't have an opinion. I don't have my will. I don't have my wants or my ways. Listen, actually, submission is quite the opposite. It is freedom. And let me explain why. If something's going on in your home and you come under the mission of what your husband's asking you as a family to do, and you say, fine, okay, I don't get it, but I'm on your side, I got your back, and you do it. If it's all screwed up and it didn't work out, it's not on you. It's on them. And you can say, what? I followed you. And you know, there's such freedom for us women. We don't have to have it all. We don't have to carry it all. We don't have to do that. Let the men carry that. That's what they're built to do. Did you know that? We're built to come under and we're built to come along. Remember, we're the helpmate. We're not the man. And sometimes our society blurs those things. And I want to say, be in your spot. Be in your spot. It's such a beautiful thing. We are anointed and we are appointed to be in our places and our spots because God has a purpose and a plan for us. And together, our marriage, when a man is in his spot and us women are in our spot, it looks like a beautiful picture of Jesus in the church. And people can look at our marriage and they go, oh, I want that. Oh, what is different about them? My mom was just in a store the other day and she was talking to somebody who had been married for 27 years. She's talking to this man, and she's telling them about my mom and dad. They're on their 37th wedding anniversary this weekend. That's where they were this weekend. And it's very cool. It's such a celebration. So she was telling him about it, and he looks at my mom, and he goes, wow, I don't have a marriage like yours. And he saw that there was something different. And do you know what it was? It was the love of Christ. She was able to minister to this guy. She was able to tell him why her marriage was special and unique. You see, we are going to be that shining, that brightness. We're going to look different than the world because when you turn the TV on, what do you see? Junk. When you turn the TV on, you see adultery. When you turn the TV on, you see, well, I'll give it a try. You know, when you turn the TV on, oh, I don't want to work hard for that. When you turn the TV on, you're looked down upon if you're sleeping with somebody before you're married. You see, all the principles and the ways of God are thrown out. But God is saying, listen, women, come and get in your spot, and you will be free in it. And then let the men carry the load. And we help them from behind carry that load, and we be in our spots, and it's a beautiful picture of Christ. I love what God says. And Kevin A. Miller says, submission means I voluntarily limit what I might do naturally in a relationship in order to benefit this relationship. You know, Pastor Jim has taught us that love is the sacrifice and the betterment for someone else. And that's what marriage is. Sometimes I'm not comfortable with where Dan wants to go, or honestly, I just don't want to go where Dan's going. Have you ever been there? Like, he loves museums. And I'm like, really? Not another museum? God. You know, like, I'm all sporty. He's kind of like, let's go to the museum. Okay. You know, but honestly, every time we end up going, I end up having a good time and I learn something new. And then he definitely sacrifices for me. I mean, when you see us in the malls, you'll see Dan dragging behind me. Like, and you know, that's part of marriage. He does really well when he's shopping for himself, though. So, you know, but that's give and take. And come under the mission, women, let me just encourage you and tell you one thing. What submission is not, okay, is when we submit to sin. When your husband is asking you to do something outside of the will of God and it's sinful, then that is not what God is asking you to do. I've heard this said to me, actually. Well, you know, I'm getting beat up in my marriage, and I'll stay until I die, because if that's what it takes for me to obey and submit to my husband because that's what God wants, then I'll do it. Listen, that is not what God wants. You are his daughter. You are more valuable to him than he ever thought. He wants you to be in a beautiful marriage where someone takes you and hugs you and loves you and cherishes who you are from the inside out. You see, God never asked us to be in sin, and he does not want us to be led to sin. So if that is a situation you are in, no condemnation, but come and meet with a pastor. Come be with us. We'd love to help you get healed from that. If you're a man sitting in this room going, oh my goodness, like that's our life, then you know what? Come and get healed. Come and receive the word of God. Come find out what God has for you. You can change that personality. You can change those generational things that have been placed over marriages for time after time. If you look at down your family lines, a lot of times it's a generational thing, and it needs to be broken in the spirit, and God has a plan. And that happens when we do God's will, God's way, marriage the way God says for it to be. So do not let yourself get beat up in a relationship. That is not submission. When it's sin and asking you to do something opposite the word of God, then that is not what God is talking about. But he's talking about a beautiful marriage painted by him with his heart wrapped and weaved through it all, a three-chord strand that cannot be broken, you, your husband, and Jesus. And that is what God is relying on. That's what God is needing from us, Rock Church. That's what he wants us to be so we can build a passionate house.
Yeah, you know, if I could say a couple of things about that too, not submitting to sin, you know, in the marriage sometimes, you know, and can we talk for a second? This is adult church, okay? So if you've got young children in the family rooms, maybe cover their ears for a second. But I want to talk about some very real things for a second that are going on in our society that should not be. First of all is this, is that, you know, sometimes the husband says, well, I need to watch pornography to get aroused so that we can have intimacy. That's sinful. God says the marriage bed is undefiled, and you're bringing someone else into your marriage bed. It needs to stop. Yeah. You don't need that. You should be aroused by your wife. And that's where the Song of Solomon, if you read it, it says, you know, I delight in my own wife's body. You know, and the Bible says to drink water from your own well. So if he's wanting you to do a threesome or something like that, that's inappropriate. That's outside of the will of God. Same thing applies, some of you single ladies, maybe you're in a dating relationship or you're engaged, that sort of a thing. If he's telling you you need to submit to sex outside of marriage because you better get used to submitting to him, run.
Run fast.
Run screaming, okay?
Yeah.
Slap him on your way out if you need to, okay? Don't slap him, but... yeah, and that can go the other way too as well, man. If you're getting beat up, you know, God's not called you to submit to that either, because some of y'all crazy, all right? So, but listen, we love you, and this is a safe place to come. If today you've felt that piercing of the word of God, and you've said, you know what, I've been beating up my wife. Listen, today is a day of change. Today it's time to stop. Mm-hmm. It's time to start turning around. Repenting means to turn from your way that you were going to turn God's way. We will love you while you change. We will love you while the word of God gets into your heart and starts to move on your life. If you're living together and you guys have been having sex outside of marriage, hey, it's time to do it God's way. God says no fornication. That means sex outside of marriage, okay? And he says fornicators are on their way to hell, as well as adulterers, right? That's outside of the will of God. We will love you while you change, but if you can stop it, separate. Listen, you want to get married? We will marry you in our offices here at the church. If you guys are going to continue to live together and you have children, that sort of a thing, hey, you're in the right place. This is a loving, godly, healthy church. Yeah. And we want you to keep coming to church so that you can get the word of God on the inside and start to do life God's way. So there's no guilt, shame, condemnation. You know what? God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for all of our sins. But let's do things God's way. So if you need to get married, contact the church offices this week. Pastor Joel, get ready on Monday. They're going to overwhelm you with requests. Let's praise the Lord. But we'll schedule a time, and you can come in and sit with the pastor, talk about your marriage, talk about your life, that sort of a thing. And ladies as well, one last thing, final thing for you single ladies, if he's saying, you know, you need to submit to this, and let's take your money, and you're going to buy me this or what, listen, that is, once again, you ain't married. There is no submission to that. And if that's the case, you might want to think about running once again.
Can I say one more thing to the single people?
Sure.
If you're single in this room and you're waiting for that special husband or that special wife, remember this. Fall in love with the God in the person first, and then the other part will come. Because when you're seeking looks and all the generic stuff, that's gonna leave you wanting. But when you fall in love with the God, I fell in love with the God in Dan's heart first. Dan, actually, I've never dated someone like Dan.
That's right, girl. Gotta take it when I can.
Dan's the first white boy I ever dated. Did you know that?
It's because she was listening to gangster rap.
I still like my gangster rap. So, but you know, I fell in love with Dan's heart because I was so in a place of brokenness, and I'd come out of so many broken, bad relationships that when I saw Dan, he was in love with Jesus. And that's what attracted me. So if you're single, fall in love with the Jesus inside of someone. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. Look at the inside and find out where they're at with God. And I believe that your life will be directed down a path that you could never even hope, dream, or imagine, and that you will get the will of God for your life.
And so many married couples that are out there that you're having a tough time in your marriage and you don't really like your spouse, fall in love with the Jesus inside of them as well. Yeah, God absolutely. Is good. Love you, honey.
Love you too.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.